Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. Hey everyone, this past Sunday was Budget Sunday, and the proposed budget was presented by Pastor Gary Alloway. If you'd like to skip the budget and go directly to the sermon by Elder Matthew Mott, fast forward to minute 16. Otherwise, enjoy the budget.
All right, everyone, it is Budget Sunday. And you'll notice by this picture up here, we're all going to get some Red Bull. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Budget Sunday. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do the budget presentation, and we're going to have some fun with it. And then Matt's going to come up and do a short sermonette tonight on finances. All right, so why do we do Budget Sunday? It'd be easy enough to just send this out in an email and not really spend any time with it on Sunday. But we share our budget because the budget is what we do together. It's a reflection of the fact that, like, when we talk about our money, Redemption is not an organization you give to. Redemption is an organization you are a part of. We are Redemption, and that's the way it works. I've heard it said, you know, you can't volunteer at your own church just like you can't babysit your own children. The church is yours. And so the budget is a reflection of what we do together. When we give away our money, it's not from the staff. It's not from an institution. It's from all of us. It's the thing we do together. The budget belongs to all of us. The budget is a reflection of what we value. You know, when you look at it, it just says you could look at your own spending and say, here's what really matters to you. In the same way, you can see that with us, and you can see, are we doing a good job of that? And lastly, the budget is a tool to live out our common faith. There's a lot of things that we do individually, and there's some things that are handled best individually, but there's other things that it really matters that we're able to pull some of our money together and do collectively, and that's what we get to do with this. The budget then becomes a tool to help us live out our faith. So, that's the budget. Like I said, the budget belongs to all of us, so we try and have a really high sense of transparency. So there's our faithful budget team. Our budget team gathers for 2 months every year. You can see them working very hard, not spending all our church money on craps. But our budget team this year was Gaines and Sarah and James and Krista, and so thank you guys for serving on that. Like I said, because we believe this is something that belongs to all of us, we try and have as high transparency as possible. So all of our finances are public. If you ever have any questions, you're more than welcome to ask, and we will share anything. Because it belongs to all of us, we have people who commit and help shape the budget. We share it with you all. And also, the budget doesn't become live until the community approves it. So we're going to share it tonight, and then for the next 3 weeks, everybody has an opportunity to ask questions, give feedback. If there's something you don't understand or don't like, you're more than welcome to raise an objection. And only after it goes through the whole thing does it actually get passed on March 1st. So that's a little bit about the budget process. You guys got any questions on that? Okay, let's talk about the budget. So how did we do last year? You can see this at the top of your budget worksheet. All right, so last year our income was $47,736. Our expenses were $44,435, leading us to a surplus of $3,301. Hey! So where did this money come from? You can see the next slide. We had $39,000 in offerings. That's the money given online or on Sundays. $3,700 in special gifts. So that was we had one large special gift. That was like our T-shirts, some of the stuff around the 10th anniversary. And then we did our big fundraising push in the spring, and we raised $4,800 through the Easter Fund, leading to a total of $47,000, which was actually a 30% increase from a year ago. So that's pretty cool. We had a pretty big increase in our overall giving for this past year. Where'd our money go? What did we spend it on? We spent $19,000 on staff. So that's me and Scotty and Marjorie and Ian and And that's it. Our admin, I always call our admin our broccoli expenses, because that's the stuff you just kind of have to spend money on. So it's advertising and church insurance and online giving and accounting software, rent and office supplies, all the fun things like that. We spend $4,500 on our discipleship, which is our program expenses, so books and resources, children's ministry, community food, meals and gifts, conferences, worship supplies, special events, and guest speakers. And then last week, we spend $5,183 on mission. So that's the money we give away, the food bank, our community needs, Ecclesia Network, our mission, the Jacksons, our missionaries to Macedonia, mission trips, and the way home. We gave away 12% of our budget last year. Every year we aim to give away between 10 and 20%. We think just like an individual should be giving away a good chunk of their money, so the church should. 12% is good. I think we can actually do better than that this year, which I'm excited about. So that's a calling for the next year to actually get up back closer to that 20% for the next year. Lastly, we had $52,000 in staff fundraising last year. A lot of times you guys don't see that. That stuff happens behind, kind of in the background. But like, that's pretty amazing that like between all our staff folks, we were able to raise another $52,000. And you should take that as an affirmation. People outside our community, when they hear about the things we're doing, actually get pretty excited and want to give to that. And then lastly, you should know that like the things we do here in Bristol actually get broadcast to a pretty large audience, and we have a pretty large network of people that like us, support us, pray for us, love us. So that's really cool. And then lastly, the mill. We started the year of the mill with $11,000. We spent about $8,000 of it, so we have about $3,000 left. And as we've talked about the last couple weeks, that grant money is going to run out somewhere in the middle of the year, and we're going to figure out what to do with that space going forward. So when we add it all up, total budget for the year, income $100,000, expenses $102,000, a deficit of $1,500. That deficit's not actually a huge deal because a lot of that was coming out of the grant money. So what should we take away from 2019? First of all, thank you. All you guys give really generously, whether it's finances or time or just however you give. It's really awesome to see this community take care of the things we need. And secondly, God is good. We've been doing this for 10 years. We've never been a big church. We've never been a wealthy church. And yet every year, every bill gets paid. Every need gets met. We have what we need. I sometimes say that redemption is stupidly sustainable. Somehow it just works every year, and God is kind of amazing like that. So that's the end of 2019. Any questions before we move on to what's ahead? Okay, you guys still with me? All right, 2020, the 2020 budget. You have it in front of you. You're welcome to look it over bit by bit and piece by piece and ask any questions you like, but I'm going to run through it pretty quick. When we go to form a new budget, one question we always ask is, do we need to kind of blow up the old budget, or do we just need to do some kind of minor tweaks around it? And we found this year that we didn't really feel the need to blow it up, but just kind of do some minor alterations to it. So big picture, our goal for this year is a budget of $51,071. That's a 7% increase off last year. What are the things we want to spend our money on? First of all, staff. We're going to budget $23,895 for that, if you go to the next slide. We're keeping our support for Marjorie and Scotty the same. We're going to do a cost of living increase for Gary, that's me, at $100 a month. We're going to start supporting Ian at $25 a month. So, Ian, did we tell you that? No. So, hey, there you go. Ian's been raising funds to do some really cool work in the community, and it's really been a blessing to us. So, as a community, we're going to support him. We are going to pay Susan, which is exciting. Yay! For anyone who doesn't know, Susan's been basically working a part-time job on a volunteer basis for most of this past year, organizing our music, organizing our liturgy, running our website, doing all kinds of sorts of stuff to actually get us organized as an organization. Organized as an organization is helpful. So we are finally going to pay her for that. So that's exciting. And then you can see that last goal there. Our staff will continue to raise most of their salary, which is $51,624. So that's Scotty and Ian and myself do fundraising. Marjorie does her fundraising through an outside organization, so there's a whole nother thing there. So just when you see those guys, like, thank them for doing that, because that's awesome. It allows them to serve our community. And also through that, we're able to give Chris a stipend for organizing all our finances. So Ian and Scotty, thank you guys, and Marjorie. Okay, so that's staff. Admin, our broccoli expenses, there you go. Advertising, church insurance, online giving, church software, website, rent, office supplies. You can see, you can look at the specific breakdown on your sheet, but that's $15,000. Our program expenses, discipleship, not too much is going to change this year. But yeah, basically what you should know, you can go to that next one there, discipleship. That's $2,600. That's all our books and resources and things like that. You guys should know there are funds available there. So if you have a vision for a class or a Bible study or a community meal or things like that, that's, we have money there, and we can help. Again, the budget is a tool to help us live out our mission. So let us know. When we get to mission, our goal is to spend about $9,000 on that this year. Some of the things will stay the same: the Way Home, the Food Bank, the Ecclesia Network, the Jacksons. We always have our line item for community needs, so that's if anybody in our community needs help with rent or bills or things like that, let us know. That money is there. That's not like a shameful thing. That's not something that we won't be able to operate as a church if we give money away. We really like to do it, and it's important for us. I always think one of the best lines in all of Scripture is in the book of Acts, when it says that in the early church there was no poor among them. And like, wouldn't that be a pretty cool thing if we were able to do that? We also do have a line item for mission trips, so if you're going anywhere this year and you would like us to support you, we can do that. Two increases this year. We are going to increase our budget for local outreach. We've been able to do some fun stuff on Mill Street, through the Mill, First Friday, the Way Home, so the Coat Drive, some different things like that. And kind of the same way, if you have a vision, we can get behind you, so let us know. And then lastly, the mill. Like I said, the mill grant money will be running out this summer. We have budgeted to keep it going throughout the year. We will be doing our work to see if that is a good decision as the year goes on. We love the mission of the mill, to be a place where spiritual seekers can encounter God apart from the cultural baggage of church. Our question is not whether to keep at that mission, but whether the space is the best way to pursue that mission. So that's something that's going on. Like I said, we'd actually like to get our mission up, so we're budgeting right now 18% of our budget to give away. This is not a terrible area to go broke on, so if you know good things we should be giving our money away to, let us know. So what that leads to is a total budget of $51,000. Like I said, last year it was $47,736, so it's a 7% increase over last year. That's important to remember. We did have our Easter fund last year and special giving. So we're going to do some more fundraising to make this go. And we are going to do our March Madness Fund. Yeah. So this will be going on during the month of March. And our goal is to raise $5,000 by April Fool's Day. I absolutely will. If you guys raise $5,000, I will wear those shorts. Does that mean, Susan, you're going to wear the cheerleader outfit? It'll be a colorful Sunday. We did this last year, and we raised our money for a rent, which is like the least sexy expense to raise your money for. But I kind of like that, because it's a good opportunity for us to like bang out our most boring expense. And while it's the most boring expense, we often miss the fact that it's what allows us to gather together. It allows us to be a community together. It also allows us to bless Bristol Hope to help support their ministry here. So that's what we're planning to do. This will be going on during the month of March. A couple things that are going on. Gaines is going to run a college basketball fundraiser. So I expect Julie to back up her fantasy football crown and comment that. We did this last year, March 8th. We'll talk about tithing your tax return. March 15th is going to be Give Your Beer Money to Jesus Week, which is in concert with Lent. Kind of the idea that what you give up for Lent, what would it look like to tithe that money to give that away? March 22nd, we're hoping to do a restaurant partnership. We're hoping we can set that up with Angelina's. And then March 29th is the most sacred national 1 cent day, which we will be celebrating again. And we expect everybody to bring all their spare change. So that's what we're going to be doing. So to conclude my part, I just want to go back to that idea. The budget belongs to all of us. So again, this won't go live until you guys look at it. If there's something you don't like, let us know. Because it does belong to all of us. And so I want you to think about, too, not just what you want this to look like, but how you can be a part of it. You know, you don't give to redemption. We are redemption, and we pool some of our money together to do these things. So whether it's volunteering or, you know, just giving a couple dollars a week or being called to something much more serious, I just love y'all to think about that, what it looks like to do this mission together. The church isn't an organization we support. The church is us, and we do this together. So that's the budget. That's my budget presentation. All right, Matthew.
Hey, everybody. Father, we're grateful to be here tonight. In your presence, in the midst of budget and money and finances, and we're going to continue talking about some of those things here, and just pray that we be aware of you in this time and space, and aware of how we feel as we talk about money and finances, and if walls go up, that you would allow us to push through that to hear whatever you may have for us tonight. So give us presence with you and with one another. In your name we pray. Amen. So, keeping in theme with the budget, we're going to talk about money and finances a little bit more. And some of the inspiration and things I'm pulling from is also going to come from a book, Scott Morton's book, titled What the Bible Actually Says About Money. It's a 31-day devotional, which I recommend and find very helpful in understanding money and how it interacts with the Bible. But I recognize that money and finances can feel like a difficult thing to talk about sometimes, and it can feel like it's a very private and individualistic thing. And when it comes to finances, I understand why we can clam up or have a lot of different feelings pop up. But we can start to think that we don't need others or shouldn't include others when it comes to our finances. And I think that Jesus shows us a picture of something different when it comes to finances and giving. And so I'm going to read a couple passages to kind of help set the lens of what we're talking about. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, and Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. And I'm also going to read from Matthew 27, 55 through 60. Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As the evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Even in these passages, we're reminded of Jesus' humanity and his relatability. Jesus needed money just like we needed money. Just like we need money. You know, we have bills to pay. We have to spend money on food. Jesus didn't rely on his divinity to provide for himself on a regular basis. He and his disciples relied on the generous gifts of others. You know, we see a few times where Jesus miraculously provides food. We see that when he feeds the 4,000, when he feeds the 5,000, when he turns the water into wine. But as we read in those instances, and there's more examples that we could find, the Bible tells us that many women and others who were affected by his ministry contributed out of their own personal means in providing for Jesus and his disciples. And I hope you take more away tonight than what I'm about to just say, but if you do just take one thing, I hope that it's this. That Jesus shows us that his kingdom work is done in community with others and is funded by community, his disciples and those affected by his ministry. Jesus shows us that his kingdom work is done in community with others and is funded by community, his disciples and those affected by his ministry. When there's a lack of money, time, resources, I know it can be hard to trust that God's going to provide, just generally speaking, let alone provide through other people for those needs that we have. And at times, it can be even hard to accept the generous gifts of others to provide for those needs. We get into believing these lies that I should be able to provide for myself, or I should be able to take care of this by myself. You know, I shouldn't need others when it comes to finances. But in being supported by giving partners, Jesus establishes this model and picture of funding for kingdom work for his disciples to be engaging in. And we see missionaries engaging this, and we see the church as a whole engage in this as we give to one another, whether that's from the church budget to one of us or from one of us to another. We see that picture being lived out because we are the church, because we are disciples of Jesus. We have a different mindset when it comes to resources. All of this stuff that we have belongs to God. And so I don't have time to pull up verse after verse looking at what Jesus says about being rich and about being poor. So I'm just going to fast forward a little bit, and we can talk about it later if you want. But in response to the question, was Jesus rich or poor? Scott Morton puts forth that Jesus had the funding he needed to enable him to accomplish his calling from God. And I would think that paints a really good and a really challenging picture. And it leads me to ask, well, what does that mean for me? And I think that means that you have the funding that you need to accomplish whatever it is God is calling you to. And now that takes a little bit of faith and trust in God to operate in that way, in that picture. But I do believe that what we have is all God's, and that we're stewarding those resources for his glory and his kingdom work, and that he gives us each a different set of resources to steward. Just as we saw that example of Joseph, the rich disciple, who buried Jesus in his own personal tomb. I mean, you'd have to have a fair bit of money to afford a tomb and a burial like that Jesus had. And Joseph used his own personal resources that God had given him to provide Jesus with that type of burial and participate in that type of kingdom work. And I would also bet that a fair amount of the other disciples didn't quite have those same resources to do that for Jesus. And so again, the resources that we steward are to be used in the pursuit of what God is calling each of us to, the direction he's calling us to move towards. And so I'm not saying we need to learn how to get by with a bare minimum, and I'm also not saying we need to get a whole lot of money and stuff just because. I bet Jesus probably would have owned a computer or a smartphone or a car or a business or you name it, if it would have helped him to accomplish, to pursue the life and calling that God had for him. But I want to come back to the practical question come back to the question of, well, what does all of this have to do with me? Well, I think if we believe that Jesus shows us that his kingdom work is done in community with others and is funded by community, his disciples, those affected by his ministry, then we need to ask ourselves some questions. And we need to figure out how to adopt this mindset and actually live it out. And I also want to clarify that this isn't meant to be burdensome. Giving brings about a whole lot of joy. And I bet these women that we read about and Joseph that gave out of their own personal means experienced a lot of joy and a lot of gladness in giving the resources that they were stewarding, the resources that they had, that God given them. And so know as we talk about this, as we think about this, that there is joy and gladness to be found here. But I think in order for me to internalize it and adopt a mindset and live it out, there's probably some questions I should ask. Like, God, how are you calling me to be like Jesus to others right now? And what funding and resources are needed to accomplish that call? And then I should probably ask, God, how are you going to provide those? So if we also believe that God is our provider, and we recognize where he's calling us to move towards, but we feel like we don't have the resources to do that, I think it's quite fair to go back to God and say, God, well, where's the resources that's going to help move me towards accomplishing what you have for me? And then I think another question to ask would be, how are you asking me to participate in the funding and resourcing of others? I think those first three questions are ones that are kind of seasonal. You know, some time passes by, our circumstances change, our incomes change, the people we're around change. And it's helpful to just ask ourselves those questions again and reflect. Now, 3 months later, God, who are you calling me to be like Jesus to? What funding and resources do I need to accomplish that? And how are you going to provide those? And I think that last question is one that kind of just sits with us on a regular basis. As we hear about needs and things going on around us, we should just kind of hear that little voice of going, God, are you asking me to participate in the funding and resourcing of that need I just heard? Sometimes the answer is no. But sometimes the answer is yes. And we get to participate in that and be a part of being the kingdom to one another. I also think that for me to more effectively participate in the funding and resourcing of others, I need to be hearing about the others' needs and challenges when it comes to finances and resources and what's going on. Now, I recognize that means we need to be more vocal with our needs, our challenges, and even our celebrations. Because how am I going to pray over God meeting your need if I don't know that you have one? And how am I going to ask God if he wants me to participate in meeting that need, not just praying over it, if I don't know about it? So in the midst of wanting to hear the need and challenges that one another are facing, I also want to hear how you couldn't pay the bills that month and the check showed up with the exact amount you needed and you have no idea where it came from or how it happened. And I also want to hear about how you've paid off your school debt or your business loan or, you know, this, that, or the other thing, and celebrate those things with you and what God is doing through those resources and how he's providing. Because I think those are things worthy of celebration with one another. And so, just to wrap us up, I want to repeat that phrase again. Jesus shows us that his kingdom work is done in community with others and is funded by community, his disciples, and those affected by his ministry.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.